name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen.
You may be seated. We have two miracle stories in today's gospel. But I sometimes wonder if miracle stories in the Bible do as much harm as good. Spectacular stories, we get a lot of comfort from Jesus stilling storms, healing sick, raising dead. Miracles remind us the way things are not the way they will always be. There is a great power available to us through our kinship with Jesus. He is the living proof that God's will for us is not chaos, but fullness. Every miracle proclaims that truth. With every healing, revival, banishment of evil, the kingdom breaks through, and for them it is over. Disciples go back to Rome, once blind beggar looks for work. The little girl from today stretches her arms above her head and takes bread for spending another hope out to her. Problem with miracles? When you witness one, you want one of your own. Each of us knows someone who is suffering physically, emotionally, or mentally. But miracles are hard to come by. Not everyone who prays for one gets one, not by a long shot. And some get one without asking for it at all. On the whole, religious people have great difficulty with this apparent randomness. So what do? We often spend a lot of time trying to figure out the formula. Surely there is a formula, maybe two parts prayer, three parts faith, one part good works. We study the miracle stories so we can learn from them. We imitate what is done right to hope to please God. But most of the time, that's hard to do, because God rarely does anything the same way twice. For example, we got two miracles layered together in today's gospel. The first, the story of Jairus and daughter, one of three resurrection stories in all the gospels, not counting Jesus's. Our other miracle is different. A woman who had bled for 12 years before she touched him with Jesus' garment was healed. Why did Mark put these different stories together? Because bleeding women and dead little girls were both taboo in Judaism. By having anything to do with either, Jesus rendered himself unclean. Not a son by itself, since people unavoidably became unclean from having babies, caring for the sick, burying the dead. But Jesus is not a midwife, nurse, or gravedigger. He was a holy man, expected to steer clear of defilement. If it happened by mistake, it was when the bleeding woman touched him, according to the law, he should have immediately gone off to purify himself. Until then, Jesus was contagious and unfit for holy duty. What did Jesus do? No purification. Simply sent the healed woman on her way. Turned around and followed Jairus, causing quite a scandal when he stepped inside Jairus' house. Now what about Jairus? He was the leader of the synagogue. He's a respected elder in the community whose obedience to the law was a matter of record. For him to seek help from Jesus caused a whole lot of talk, a scandal. So this is not just a story about Jesus, even about a little girl he raised from the dead. It's also a story about Jairus. He broke every rule to try to save his daughter's life. Can you imagine what it was like for him to fall at Jesus' feet in front of a big crowd? Then leading Jesus through the crowd, delayed by a woman with a child's life, seek the way, and then to be told it was too late, the child was dead. No reason to trouble Jesus anymore. This is as bad as it gets. You beg on knees for help when it comes too late. Give up all your cherished beliefs and grab one last wild straw and it comes off in your hand. To hear a voice, do not fear, only believe. Sounds like a formula, right? If you believe hard enough, your prayers will be answered. Work for Charis, the daughter was saved, but it simply does not happen that way very often. Most people do not get a miracle like that. One of the meanest things religious people do is blame it on a lack of faith. A few years ago, I spent one day a week for 22 weeks in the cancer chemotherapy ward of Lynchburg Hospital as part of my hospital ministry training. To me, the courage of the patients and their families was overwhelming. Some fundamentalists, however, connected cures to the level of faith. I found this to be not healing, but distasteful, only adding guilt and shame to go along with their chemotherapy. They meant well, but they had gotten mixed up about what causes miracles. Faith on faith made miracles happen. Just like those strength tests at county fairs. And where one looks like big thermometers with red ringers on the top, if you were really strong with a sledgehammer, you could ring the bell if you were not. Better luck next time. In other words, they thought you could all miracles if you are sick and getting sicker. It's your own fault. You just have to try harder. Confess God with your belief and claim your miracle. Only, this is idolatry. You see, another pitiful attempt to be in charge of our own lives instead of owning up to the truth. That every breath we take is a free surprise from God. Our scriptures last week mentioned Job, where God made it plain that he is in control, not us. Faith does not work miracles. God does. To concentrate on the strength of our beliefs is to practice magic. To concentrate on the strength of God is to practice faith. Difference? Believing our lives are in our own hands and believing that they are in God's. God, not faith, works miracles. Jairus' daughter had faith? I don't think so. She was just dying. Did Jairus have faith? Well, I guess to say so. Jairus just followed Jesus home, washed unclean. Holy man, do the job. Either way, the high point not then, but earlier when Jesus told him, do not fear, only believe. If Jairus had been able to do that, he could have survived anything that could have happened, including Jesus walking into the room, closing her eyes with fingertips, and pulling the sheet over her face. Then Jairus' belief would have truly been a miracle. Willingness to believe that she was still in God's good hand, though she slipped out of tears. Don't expect any of us will stop praying for miracles. I hope not, because the world needs all the miracles it can get. Now when our famous Bishop Mark Dyer took over, he hired Canon Bob Rowley for his staff. Bob was later named Bishop of Northeast Northwestern Pennsylvania. Sharon and I attend his ordination in Erie, and I've never forgotten something Bishop Mark said in his sermon. I not only believe in miracles, I count on miracles. Maybe you hear one who are getting a preview of the kingdom, but there is no financial success. The relief of those of us who cannot seem to ring the bell. Perhaps we can't do it because it is not our job. Do not fear, only believe. That is our job. The rest is up to God.